Don't go in the room, Allison. Don't go in there. No! You're gonna die!
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to hell for picking this movie. This one is bad. The premise of it is that they're making a horror movie with Allison Arngren. They don't discover that Allison Arngren is going to participate till they're partway through the project. So that's sort of the back of the box description.
Yeah. This actually opens with a guy named Raynak, covered in blood, and he talks about how he's trying to basically like rent out the house that they're filming in, but it's difficult because potential renters are getting turned away by the sight of him naked and blood-drenched.
I think if I went on Craigslist, you ring the doorbell, you open the door, and you're just like, I don't want to be a statistic.
Yeah. There's a narrator who apparently is the director, but you don't see or hear his name at first.
It just launches, like mid-scene.
Yeah, so I was really confused about who was doing what and what the roles were, but apparently the director's name is Kelly.
Yes. There's people in a shed, and they're screaming, and then the cops show up.
Yes.
And they say, is there anything going on in the shed? And the dude is just like, oh no, that's just actors. And this is how every single... She was held prisoner for 10 years, even after cops showed up at the house 5 times, story goes.
Yeah, I had kind of a similar thought, like, would you take their word at face value? I'm not sure I would if I were a police officer.
I think we have ample evidence to show that sometimes cops, like, do not do the investigation that's noteworthy just based on the number of women who have been held captive for, like, 10 years, 20 years. Even though the cops have shown up.
Yeah. Well, Kelly says that when the cops show up, you just shoot the rest of your scenes, just not quite as loud.
Tone it down a little.
Right. Kelly tells us that when he was a kid, he loved the scene from Little House on the Prairie where Laura Ingalls pushes Nellie down a hill in a wheelchair.
Yes. She suspects that Nellie is faking her paralysis. So... she shoves her down the steep hill, and Nellie Olson falls into this river and then stands up.
It's funny, because I haven't watched that show since I was a kid, but I do remember Laura pushing Nellie in that wheelchair.
Right. And I'm going to just be upfront about the fact that I recently read Allison's memoir.
Oh, nice.
So I had fairly recently gone back and watched that scene, because she talked about that's the scene that people always... associate with the Laura-Nellie relationship.
Yeah. Kelly says that scene is one of the things that inspired him to want to make movies when he grew up. So he founded Heart Attack Theater, and one of his trademarks is he has actors scream in almost every scene to quote-unquote keep the adrenaline going.
Yes. And then we're introduced to an actress named Betty who screams the least believable scream I have ever heard.
It kind of does explain why the police are always showing up.
Right.
If every scene has somebody screaming and he's often filming these things in public, you know, parks and out on the street and whatever, in the forest.
Well, and he talks about our production is truly more believable as a backyard YouTube video than something that would cause a bidding war with Amazon Prime or even Hulu. There is absolutely no way anybody is bidding on his films.
And put a pin in that for later.
Okay.
That's just a little tease for what I have for you later.
Oh, goodness. He talks about how one of the films he created was Mother of the Bride Fetish Erotica. That is not a thing. That's not a thing. Try to argue with me.
Well, he does talk about how his films are also more believable as low-budget porn.
Well, they aren't sexy at all. I'm not trying to kink shame.
Right. There are sexual themes, but there is no sexiness.
No, none. Dear listener, at some point in this podcast recap, we will be describing a scene that will make you never want to have sex again. Just warning you.
So I want to mention this next bit because it stands in stark contrast to where we end up going. So we meet this guy named Jason. He says that he made a film with Kelly called The Professor, and all that movie is about is a professor runs into a student and then he kills her.
And that's literally all that happens.
I can't hardly believe that Kelly was capable of making something that simple, because the movie that this is about is way off the rails.
So far off, like the exact opposite of streamlined.
Yeah, he's started a new movie called The Mephisto Box. Kelly says that for the climax, they've pulled out all the stops. There's telekinesis, astral travel, flying daggers, and a woman in a wheelchair restoring her legs through the power of Satan.
Right.
Which then culminates in a mother-daughter death match where only the strongest magic can win. And again, compared to where this is going, relatively streamlined.
Not a film I would seek out, but yes, yes, this is tight. This is together.
Well, and we get to see a little tease of that final scene where the woman, the actress who is playing the mother, is slamming this box into someone's back over and over again as she screams,
"Is everybody killing my goddamn boys?"
Yes. I am pretty sure that Tommy Wiseau and Kelly have the same casting technique.
The Room at least was shot, I guess famously shot on both film and digital.
Yes.
Because Tommy didn't know what he was doing, but the footage looks terrible.
When I was in high school in the 90s, I created a series of movies that were parodies of Macbeth, and I am pretty sure that the video camera of my father's that I used had higher production value than what is created for this film.
But I would believe you if you told me that he was running around using a camcorder that was recording on VHS.
Oh, absolutely. I would believe you more if you said he was filming this on VHS than if you told me he was filming it on an iPhone.
Yeah, this is not the video that you see Apple throwing out there shot on iPhone.
No.
Apple's like going back and quietly saying, like, maybe we should stop making iPhones.
They're removing the video capability from the iPhone thanks to this.
This is the reason Johnny Ive is quitting.
Right.
The Mephisto box finishes wrapping, but Kelly says that he wants to add more production value.
Quote unquote production value.
By that, he means more action, more blood, more supernatural intrigue. So he puts an ad on Craigslist to find a few more actors and then weave new elements into the plot.
Yes.
So he says that he has added a character who shapeshifts into a demon who takes the form of a scary doll.
Yes, that doll was scary.
And he says he has no idea how it's going to fit into the established storyline, but he figures he'll make sense of it in post-production.
Right, like you do.
Right. So around this time, he gets a voicemail from Allison saying that she's thinking about taking him up on being in his movie.
One, did she see the ad on Craigslist? Is Allison surfing Craigslist looking for acting opportunities?
It's a fair question.
And two, this is the part of the movie when you, as the audience, are thinking, no, don't go in the room, Allison. Don't go in there. No, you're going to die. No.
Allison says that she's always wanted to do horror because she wants to be able to go to horror cons. And later on, she talks about how lots of people involved with Little House on the Prairie had a bunch of horror movies in their credits, but she's the spookiest, creepiest person among all of them, and she's never had any until now.
And that's actually reading her memoir. It was really entertaining because she's like kind of an eccentric, sort of goofy person. Mm-hmm. And it does make sense for her to be in horror. But does the Venn diagram of Little House on the Prairie fans and horror fans overlap?
If it was going to overlap, it probably would overlap somewhere near the nexus of Nellie Olson.
Probably so.
Maybe that works. Well, Kelly says that he doesn't know how he's going to insert this whole new character Allison is going to play. And he says that he thinks he might have screwed up his project for the sake of working with his childhood idol, but you only get one chance in life to turn Nellie Olson into a wheelchair-shoving, eyeball-gouging, Satan-worshipping, mind-controlled serial killer. So you tweak the script until it screams bloody murder.
But isn't eyeball-gouging, Satan-worshipping, mind-controlling serial killer basically the IMDb description of Nellie Olson?
Maybe not the eye gouging, but the rest maybe.
I could totally see her eye gouging.
Yeah, she seems like she would fight dirty as Nellie Olson.
This is where it all quote unquote goes downhill for him when he tries to insert into his film. And I just was thinking, yes, before that you were in the running for an Oscar.
Well, I think before that maybe he had a story.
He had a plot line that was consistent.
This doesn't feel like an extra character. This feels like this is the character. So I don't know why he didn't just start making a new movie.
Right. He's not shoehorning her into the existing plot. She becomes the main character.
That's what it seems like. He is going to introduce Allison's character with a gruesome murder at the edge of a cemetery.
Yes.
And he shot the scene in Washington State not far from where David Lynch shot the iconic scene of dead Laura Palmer wrapped in plastic. And he's filmed something of a homage because Allison is holding this big clear umbrella that also kind of wraps her in plastic.
David Lynch is rolling over in his grave.
He's not dead, but he could be rolling over in someone's grave.
I'm pretty sure he's in a grave somewhere because he's David Lynch and he is rolling in it because it's not raining. Let's just point out, it's a beautiful sunny day, and she's carrying a clear umbrella, and she just sort of walks onto the scene, and then, like, kills the guy.
Yeah.
With her fingernails.
He says that that's the one thing that Laura Palmer didn't have, gold fingernails to fight back. And he tells us that Allison is going to be playing the role of Lisa, who is an ambivalent, reluctant high priestess of Satan.
Who got sent away to Europe.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Allison. I admire your work. She's got this terrible, terrible affected accent.
Do you think you're dreaming? Is this a dream? Do you think you wake up? You hear the birds? Hear the birds chirping?
I don't know what the accent is supposed to be. Do you think of like Eastern European or something?
It is not an accent any of us has ever heard in our lives before.
No. We cut back to Jason, and this is probably my most freaked out by Jason moment.
Yes.
He says that when he met Kelly, all he wanted was to be killed on film.
I told him, I was like, can you kill me on film? And he's like, we can do it. And he's killed me on film a lot. And not only that, I get to kill a lot of people. That matters more to me than anything.
I wish him the best of luck the next time he tries to fly. Because he's on a list.
He's even more thrilled, as you might imagine, that now he's also gets to be killed by Nellie Olson.
Which you would, honestly. If I were going to be in a film and I got to be killed by Nellie Olson, that would be like a claim to fame. Like, everybody knows who Nellie Olson is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, again, part of the reason why it's so perplexing that she's in this. Kelly talks Jason into this murder scene where he's going to get killed wearing nothing but a shirt and a bird feeder wrapped in duct tape around his groin.
And that scene is like, I think that probably it was written when Kelly was about 14. He was influenced by Edgar Allan Poe and maybe Hello Kitty.
Mother, mother, I will go slow. Mother, 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 mother. Yes, I will go slow, 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 slow. Do you wonder what our baby would look like? Would it have your eyes? My black soul?
Really?
Is this the scene that put you off sex?
No, we're not there yet. It didn't make me want to have sex. I didn't like set down my iPad and go hunt you down.
I notice. Well, this is probably one of my favorite things from Kelly himself. He talks about how he doesn't like it when actors ad-lib.
Right.
And then we get a little piece of his script, and in it, he's writing about how he hates the Heaven is for Real kid.
Like, out of nowhere.
And I'm kind of on board with it.
I actually said that too. That was right on point.
I found it hard to believe, that a 4-year-old boy died while he was getting his tonsils removed, went to heaven, met God, came back to life, and reported it all to his mother, who just happened to be an editor for a major Christian publisher.
I think I read or heard that the kid recanted the story.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, for the first scene with Allison on set, Kelly is going to do an homage to the wheelchair scene.
Yes.
And they do the line, I guess, from Little House on the Prairie, where Laura says to Nellie, "You're such a good friend, Nellie," and then pushes her down the hill?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
That's how it goes.
Okay. And Allison says that recreating that scene was on her bucket list.
Right?
But then she says they filmed it over 80 times more than she did.
Okay, so first off, Jennifer is sitting in this wheelchair and like her feet are kind of being dragged as she's pushed down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
That poor woman, she was probably paralyzed after filming this scene.
Yeah, she had on really high heels.
Why is a woman in a wheelchair wearing high heels?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Thank you. I thought so. And the driveway isn't steep. It's not like the Nellie Olson scene in Little House on the Prairie where she's like shoved kind of off a cliff and she falls into the water, which, can we talk about that scene for a second?
Yes.
What if Laura was wrong? You've just killed Nellie Olson.
I haven't watched that show in so long. I don't know how well any of it holds up, but that scene really makes me question if any of it does.
Right.
Well, Allison leaves. And Kelly says that he's still not sure how anything's going to fit together, but he shoots some more scenes. He films some scenes with a guy named Noel. Noel's character is going to have the power to bring people back from the dead.
Yes. And he uses some sort of like PVC pipe
with
some bad special effects to bring Betty back to life. And this is where it starts to get really complicated and really, really dumb.
This is where?
Even more complicated and even more dumb. How about that? Now it's just chaos.
Yes, it absolutely is.
I was now doing random shoots in public parks, on actors' rooftops, any dirty little nook and cranny I could find. More footage to add to my growing heap. I just had so much footage with so little story to connect it all. I had 100 hours of uneditable video footage.
We are not garbage collectors. We are filmmakers.
There's a paramedic character that he gives the power of pyrokinesis. He says that they use it to burn pages of the script.
What script? Well, and then they film some scenes with Jason, and they cover him in actual lighter fluid.
Yeah, and he says he gets chemical burns from it.
The audience doesn't know. You could get the can of whatever, butane, fill it with water and squirt it on him. Why would you have to use actual lighter fluid?
Their method.
And then the guy who's like sitting in a room with like literally blue Christmas lights sitting around him.
Yes.
Like they still have their little, you know, the little tag that's on your Christmas lights.
But Jamie, they're the blue Christmas lights of the damned.
So then Allison's like in the neighborhood again or something. And so she comes back to do some more shoots with Kelly and team. And she says,
"You're running around in the Pacific Northwest with a fire burning, banging on a silver chalice, calling up Satan. Something might answer."
Like, maybe Bigfoot?
Well, based on what we watched, I'm thinking the answer is once again the police, because they do show up multiple times.
Yes. No, but I was thinking Pacific Northwest.
It's very possible we could have a Harry and the Hendersons sort of moment.
That was a good movie.
Well, Allison is back, as you said, and they're in the woods. There's a Christian men's group, kind of like Promise Keepers.
Yes.
Having a Bible study in the forest. And we cut to the guys who are like around this campfire saying things like, "I will never again be alone in a room with a woman that is not my wife. We got to support each other on this, God damn it."
That was low-key Mike Pence shade, and I am here for every minute of it.
I hope that's what that was.
I also was like, Promise Keepers saying, "God damn it."
Yeah, when you're feeling really convicted about your sins, you're not usually swearing like that.
Not that I know, because I've never sinned, except in selecting this film and making you watch it. I sinned a fair amount there.
Yeah, well, the penance may be severe.
21 years of marriage, the gift is this documentary.
Yikes. Is the scene that scarred you the one where Allison gets sucked up into Betty's vagina? Because that's the next thing that they film.
Yes. My notes say, she is being shoved, .. back into, .. her mother's womb? 400 question marks.
They've painted green on the actress's belly so they can, like, green screen in what looks like Allison, like, in her stomach?
Yes. I don't think it would work like that.
And then she, like, immediately re-delivers her?
Right, but this time without the wig.
And then Betty sings a very tuneless song about cause and effect and karma.
Yes. It felt like she was making it up as she was going.
The quality of this song perfectly matches the quality of the film.
Yes. It's just like nonsense. Like if you've had a little bit too much to drink and you're hanging out with your puppies and you're singing them a little puppy lullaby, this is what you get.
Yeah. There's going to have to be a clip of it. Here you go.
The way you do to others comes back to you. If you want a good life, be a good person. Don't be afraid to give, and you'll come back and you will get.
Soon thereafter, the Popo show up.
The real Popo.
Yes. Police show up because of all their yelling and shouting in the woods. I actually have... Is that... That was really the police. They're not coming to our house, even though perhaps they should.
Did you call the police on me for picking this movie? How dare you, sir?
I think it was the neighbors.
all the screaming you did while you watched it?
Yeah, all the horrific screaming. So... Allison talks about how a lot of the cast doesn't have any acting experience because Kelly just asks random people who are like on set lifting things if they want to be in a scene.
Yes.
But Allison asserts that that works.
It does not work.
And then we get my favorite scene.
Oh, the marshmallows.
Allison's character force feeds another character a s'more. Ah! That's literally what is happening.
I'm sorry. Yes. And like the woman's like legit eating the s'more.
Apparently there's something wrong with her legs.
Well, she's the one that she pushed down the hill.
Oh.
And we didn't mention earlier, because this is important. When she got to the bottom of the hill and like crashed, that demon baby doll plucked out one of her eyes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So now she's in the scene and she's got an eye patch on.
Yes.
And she's screaming bloody murder as she's getting marshmallows shoved in her mouth.
Right. Well, and she screams something about like, why won't you fix my legs? And then Allison says,
there's no more marshmallow. There's no more marshmallow.
Why?
Allison gets a poker and pokes out her other eye.
And puts it in a s'more and eats it.
Yeah, she's got the chocolate, the graham cracker.
The eyeball.
And the eyeball.
Because she's out of marshmallows.
There's no more marshmallow.
So they talk about how Kelly has crazy ideas. After showing us that scene.
You don't say.
But they say that he's a good, harmless Icelandic guy at heart. And Allison corroborates that and says that it's been the cleanest goody-two-shoes set she's ever been on. And she says everyone's a lot less drunk than they were on Little House on the Prairie.
Which I love. You need to read her memoir. Because she has some stories.
Oh, I bet she does.
Yeah.
We don't even go out on Allison.
No.
We don't go out on the director. We don't go out on the big star. We go out on Jason saying,
you know, we're either naked or covered in chemicals, you know, and Kelly films, and it's worth it.
Isn't there like a card that says you can take the girl out of Walnut Grove, but you can never take the prairie out of Nellie Olson?
Yeah, I wondered if that was a line from her book.
That is not, to my knowledge, and that makes no sense whatsoever.
What of any of this makes any sense?
Literally nothing. So, Dave, are you ready to tell us what you've learned?
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I was curious if there was somewhere that we could go find this and watch it.
Oh, the actual finished movie?
Yeah. So I Googled this.
I did not ever have the thought that I wanted to watch the actual finished movie.
So here's what I found, though. He tried to turn it into a TV show.
What?
Again, he shot 100 hours. There's one episode listed on Amazon, but you can't view it on Amazon. And it's only 24 minutes long.
What?
But I kept Googling, and that led me to Indiegogo, where they did a campaign, help Alison Arngrim reach her bloody potential in the sequel to the horror movie The Mephisto Box. He wanted to raise $25,000. He had four backers and he raised $350.
$350. It's closed? We can't contribute?
Yeah, oh, this was all done in like the beginning of 2017. One person gave him $25 to get a personalized greeting for your voicemail from Alison Arngrim playing Nellie Olson.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Right? Wouldn't that be kind of fun?
That would be such an awesome anniversary present. I'm just saying.
Well, if only it was 3 years ago.
Travel back in time.
The other thing that I guess I would learned was just like this idea, like there are a lot of creative pursuits out there that involve having to collaborate with people like filmmaking and photography and things like that. And I guess swing for the fences, because there is no way I would have ever believed that someone with this level of production quality would ever get any actor I'd heard of. Yet here's Nellie Olson in a red wig and a weird accent, pretending her 70-year-old mother is sucking her up into her vajayjay. I mean, what an amazing world.
It's an amazing time we live in.
What did you learn?
Well, sort of in a similar vein, and I think you said it much better than me, but like, if you don't ask, the answer's no.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fan of Tom Cruise? Ask him to be in your Craigslist actor production that has no script or plot or uses a doll painted with fake blood to pluck out the eyes of people. Seriously, the takeaway from this for me is just ask.
Yeah. It's weird that it worked for him, but here we are.
And I kind of feel like we need to tag her when we post this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe she'd be game for being on this podcast. And she can't help it that the script was terrible. And based on her memoir, she sounds like someone I would really enjoy going to dinner with.
She sounds like a hoot.
Right. I feel like, Allison, you are welcome to appear on this podcast anytime you want.
Allison, you are the brightest part of this documentary, and you just seem like a delight. So if you're interested, the door's open.
You can tweet us at Super True Story. You can find us on Facebook at Super True Stories.
You can email us, supertruestories@gmail.com.
Yes.
Well, on that note, we should thank Tomb Dragomir for the use of our theme song, Mexicana Massacre, off of his album, Instrumental Psycho Synth. A shout out to our podcast friends at 6 Foot Plus and Projection Booth. Axel told me that we're actually featured in some way on an upcoming episode of 6 Foot Plus, so check that out. I'll be tracking that down. And thank you again, Jamie, for this.
You're welcome. Happy anniversary, sweetheart. I love you.
I love you. 21 years, I guess you celebrate with the gift of horror?
Well, and technically our anniversary is tomorrow, so I do have to ask, will we be making it to 21 years?
We will.
Yay! I was afraid.
I've got a s'more and a birdcage for you.
Oh, dear God. Look at the time.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.